welcome to our inaugural informational webinar on the Mobile Homeowner Program. This is Frank Rolfe. With me, as always, is Dave Reynolds. And I want to give you a little background. I know we've had a lot of mystery on what this program is and haven't been able to talk about it possibly enough, so you would know at least exactly what all we were talking about on it. But basically, I guess several months ago, Dave and I realized that the way things are working out with the retailers, the manufacturers, and the Lonnie dealers, it wasn't gonna get where everyone needs to be. There's a lot of vacant lots out there. A lot of people need homes on those vacant lots. So we took it upon ourselves to try to figure out some kind of new solution based on the tools we had at hand. And one tool we had at hand was the fact that there's a lot of demand for homes. And if you've ever read an ad in the paper, you know, your phone will ring off the hook from people wanting to buy used mobile homes or new mobile homes. But, so there's one tool we had at hand. But what we were lacking was trying to figure out how to meet that demand in a win-win way that we can all fill our vacant lots. And we got to thinking about what happens currently, and Dave researched and found about 18,000 people a month. I think Dave is about right. Googling on to how to get into investing in mobile homes effectively as rental property. 18,000 people a month. And what the heck is happening to those 18,000 people? I mean, if those 18,000 people would just buy one home each, we'd fill every lot in America in no time flat. And what we then analyzed was what happens currently is they have no resource other than, you know, the little book by Lonnie Scruggs on being a Lonnie dealer, which for many of them who are more sophisticated folks, they look at the book and decide that doesn't look, you know, quality enough that they want to jump into it. And then others may jump into it, they may buy a home and have a bad experience and then tell everybody else, no, you don't want to do that, it doesn't work. And they shut down doing it. That's all we can figure because 18,000 people a month come in the door, but very, very few then go out the door to actually buy a used mobile home. So upon reflecting on what was wrong, what we decided the problem is that for too long now, the park owners have basically used the Lonnie dealers kind of in a win-lose situation where the Lonnie dealer brings in the home and there's no sense of partnership between the park owner and the Lonnie guy. So basically the Lonnie guy gets in there and he shoulders a ton of risk and time and burden. And in the end, often it doesn't work out. And he comes to the park owner, which has happened to me 1,000 times. I'm sure it's happened to you 1,000 times. And the guy says, hey, you know, can you please buy my homes from me? I thought I'd make money. I'm not making any money. Very unhappy. Want to get out of the business. And what we have tried to solve and we're unveiling tonight, we're trying to come up with a partnership between park owners and folks that want to invest in mobile homes in a win-win manner such that the park owner shares a little in the risk, shares a little in the effort, but in the end actually benefits because rather than having people bring in a home or two and have a bad experience and stop, they would bring in a home and do well with it and then bring in more and tell their friends and they'd bring in more and pretty soon those whole 18,000 folks every month would be out there buying a home or two. And I think you'll find when we get done showing you what the plan is that from a park owner perspective, we're not asking much. I mean, we're asking very little here. We're asking basically that you consider doing things that are effectively free to you. So we really think it's a win-win solution. It's a solution that we ourselves are going to immediately adopt. So we are definitely right on board with our own parks as one of the first customers of the program because we honestly think that this could be the way out for community owners. It's not going to solve the woes of the manufacturers. It's not going to solve the woes of the dealers. They're still going to go broke left and right, in our opinion. It's not going to solve the woes of existing folks doing Lonnie deals that didn't have mobile homeowner arrangements prior. But we really think this is a significant idea for the industry, and we're excited to show it to you. So, Dave, let's, I guess, roll out the mobile homeowner.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to add a couple things onto that, Frank. One thing is, for park owners like myself and Frank and, all the other park owners out there, I think the biggest issue we have right now is, if we don't have unlimited cash in the bank or credit lines or whatever, to fill up our parks, that's just a huge issue. The homes are just not coming in right now. So this whole program, we're hoping we can start tapping into, it could be your friend's money or it could be, somebody you work with, their IRA or, different IRA funds. There's several billion dollars out there right now in IRA money that's making, no return. And, by, pushing that into the mobile homeowner program, they can actually get significant, returns and, be win-win for both park owner and them.
Right.
So that's, one of the big things, why we even put it together besides, the whole fact that, it is tough to buy homes in other people's parks and without a win-win solution, by putting everybody together, working together, there are some definitely improvements on the old model. So.
Yeah, one more thing I'll throw out also, Dave, is that, Dave and I have been watching where this whole thing was heading with the manufacturers because, as you know, we've had our new home solutions program trying to match people with manufacturers. But the thing we've been disappointed in seeing is that not many manufacturers are rolling out financing programs for park owners. There are a few of them out there, but, it's not in a big enough way that it's going to revolutionize the industry by itself. So, what we're availing tonight, we feel, is about the only option left. But at the same time, we think that it's maybe the best option of them all to begin with. So.
Right. Okay. So, I guess we talked about, it's kind of a, it's not really a, the same thing as the Lonnie deal, the Lonnie method. It's basically a replacement or, really an upgrade to the Lonnie model.
Right.
And we think it's a system that really works. So, why is there opportunity in buying and selling mobile homes out there? And I think the first one, and, I think we all agree upon it, is the demand for affordable housing.
Right, and Dave, I think would agree that that demand, the way the economy is heading, the way our nation is heading, that is a demand that can only get stronger.
Right?
It's not really a temporary fad. I think that if your phone is ringing a lot now, your phone will be ringing a whole lot tomorrow, and even more next year.
Right, and as a park owner, right now, anytime I have a good, two or three bedroom home sitting in a community that I own. And, I can sell that and, get a buyer in there or rent it or whatever. I mean, I have huge demand. I get called every day in most of my parks for people wanting those homes, that $500 a month lot and home rent. So the demand's there and it's growing. Next one, next item is there's very little competition out there. Right now the competition, you have single family, you have apartments, and all those other options. But people can actually go to a park, a decent park, buy a home, own the home, and you actually build some equity and have some pride of ownership.
Yeah, and also point out, Dave, that when I got in the mobile home business, everyone teased me saying, "Oh, mobile home parks—they're the scourge of the earth." They're not the scourge of the earth. The scourge of the earth are apartment buildings.
That's right.
Right. And so if you talk to your customers, and I've always officed out of mobile home parks, so I've talked to thousands of people, what drives them to mobile home parks many times is how horrid apartments are.
That's right.
In an apartment, you've got nasty folks up against you on all sides, up and down. You've got bad acting teenagers hanging out by every entrance and exit. You got gunshots. You got sirens. It's a mess. And a lot of these people, all they want is a little peace and quiet without someone banging on their walls and scaring the kids. And so part of what makes this all happen is the fact that apartments are just dreadful. And so it drives a lot of people into mobile homes because they don't really have any other avenue. And it certainly means there's really no competition for these folks.
Next item, we talked about it already a little bit, but, the marketing is, marketing is simple. I mean, because the demand is there. You don't have to go way out of your way to market these homes once they're in a community. You got people coming to you, so the marketing's just simple.
Right. Another item is most of your repairs on mobile homes are purely cosmetic. And I know when you first go in your first beat-up used mobile home, you freak out because the cosmetics can be kind of scary. But when you calm down and you think about it, you know, those three pizza boxes on the floor and that big pile of stains on the carpet and the hole through the wall, those are still fairly minor items compared to your typical single-family home. I mean, you don't have foundation issues. You don't have the kind of roof issues that you normally have in other properties. So most of your problems are cosmetic, and as a result of that, they're relatively inexpensive to fix.
Right. And, you know, the homes, if you buy these El Cheapo homes that need a lot of work, I mean, you can pretty much rehab a home for $4,000 or less. You might have $5,000 in it. And if you buy a little bit more decent home, you know, you might be in it for $1,000 in repairs. So.
Yeah, and well, if you compare that to a single-family home, right, I mean, if something's wrong in your single-family home and you want to remodel, what's a single-family home remodeling budget? $30,000, $50,000.
Right.
You know, so it's just a whole different animal.
That's right. Then I think the big, you know, really the last item on this set of slides is basically, you know, you can actually buy mobile homes cheaply. I mean, you can go out and buy them for $5,000 or $10,000, you know, $15,000, you know, whatever it is. But you can actually get, you know, cash flow. You know, if you go buy a single family house for $100,000 or $200,000 and you try to rent it out and get cash flow, I mean, it's just not there.
Right.
You're basically banking on appreciation. But, you know, if you have a good relationship with the park owner, the park manager, and you guys are bringing quality tenants in there, and, I mean, and you're in the right market, I mean, you can actually get cash flow. You know, you can get cash flow up to 50% a year or more. So, you know, that's really the big thing. That's the real key to the whole mobile home set, you know, thing is the cash flow.
Right. Now, Dave, before our next set of slides, we probably should ask Lonnie Scruggs if he's in the audience to cover his ears. Because he probably will not like this next set of bullet points. But next we want to delve into why all prior systems, such as the Lonnie deals, have not been successful, why they have not worked.
Right.
And this is just a quick rundown of the reasons it just currently doesn't work in its current format. The first is, you know, if you read Lonnie's book, and I've actually talked to Lonnie one-on-one in person on the shortcomings of his book, which he didn't appreciate, one is he doesn't take into account any kind of repairs. You know, if you read Lonnie's stuff, Lonnie's concept is you buy a home for a couple grand and you sell it for 10, but he never talks about the thousands that you put into it. And that's a real flaw, because I've never bought a home, Dave, I'm not sure if you have, that you can ever just, well, I mean, occasionally, yes, but 98% of the time you can't market it without some repair.
Right, and the repair thing is just not the repairs of the home, but then you have the lot rent while you're sitting vacant trying to do those repairs, and the time you're trying to resell the home, all those different types of things.
All the different costs, that's exactly right.
Right.
Also, he's not realistic on turnover, because we have to face the fact these tenants do churn. They do turn over. They don't, unlike what he says in his book, you can't buy it and sell it to a guy on a 10-year note and have him pay to the end. I mean, you can sometimes, but I think we all have to acknowledge the truth, which is the tenants do churn. They do turn over periodically. And under his model, when they turn over, and you reset the clock, you have to pay the lot rent the entire time. You have to pour more expense into the repairs, and you've got nobody to help you resell it normally, other than yourself.
That's right.
So you're in a bad, bad situation.
Yep. And then the next one, which I think is, you know, a big part of this program, is that, you know, under the prior model, there was really no park owner spiffs or management, and under this, our mobile homer program, it's basically you're working with a park owner or the manager, and they're helping you, you know, get the home sold. They're checking up on the home, make sure it doesn't get vacated in the middle of the night, so you know that it was vacated. And then they're offering spiffs, and that could be anywhere from free lot rent when you buy the home and get it ready to sell and move it in. It could be, you know, $1,000 to move it in. It could be $5,000 to move it in. You know, it could be a share of the lot rent that they're getting, you know, because they have no lot rent, and, you know, you bring a home in there, they're going to, you know, get $300 a month or $200 a month lot rent, and maybe they'll give you, you know, the Lonnie dealer $50 a month for a while just to get your returns up to a level that makes it more sense for you to, you know, to move forward. So,
right, and
very important.
Right, and one of the goals of the Mobile Homer program, in fact, is it allows park owners to competitively, you know, make offers out there to attract lotty folks in.
That's right.
So in other words, if you want lots bad, if you've got a very large lot rent, let's say you've got a park with a $40 a month lot rent, you may well say, hey, I'm more than happy to pay a $5,000 spiff because that's just 1 year of lot rent. And, you know, some guy with a $100 rent may say, heck no, I can't spend more than $1,000 or $500. It doesn't matter, and it's nothing we're going to control. It's up to you guys. But in other words, it brings back the old free market concept of, you know, if you really want the business, you can get it. And we don't know what people are going to offer. But, you know, again, it makes it work better for the lot, and it's more of a win-win when they actually get some consideration on the part of the park owner.
That's right. Then I think, you know, the next thing is, you know, the park rents keep going up. And with this, you know, when Lonnie wrote his book, you know, I don't remember, it was like 20 years ago.
1958, I think, Dave.
Well,
maybe 1938. No, I'm sorry. I think it's in the 70s.
Okay, so yeah, when he wrote it, you know, the park rents were $100 or $75 or $150 in some markets. And, you know, you had that, you know, huge amount of, you know, difference between what you could, you know, the lot rent and then what the ultimate total lot rent and home payment was. You know, it was, you know, maybe $250 or $300 back then. But now since the lot rents have gone up, you have much less of a difference that these future buyers or tenants can actually afford. And that, you know, I think that's one of the biggest problems. I think the Lonnie program worked really well, you know, the first 10 years maybe after he wrote the book. And but, you know, I think that's the biggest problem now is there's just not enough room for both park owner and Lonnie dealer to, you know, both make a great return. So it's got to be revised a little bit.
Right. And our last point here is that, you know, with the current Lonnie system, there's just no continuity, all right? You know, a lot of people are too worried to jump into something stone cold with nothing but a tiny paperback book.
Okay.
And what we're hoping through our program is to give them continuity, and I think everybody else out there knows a big part of everything that Dave and I do is continuity. We like to have, you know, weekly Q&A shows. We like to do weekly, you know, e-magazines and things like that. And we think a lot of those 18,000 folks who pop in every month, the reason they tune out is they say, what the heck, I can't jump into this with some stupid little book. So we're hoping with the Homer program to give people the feeling that, you know, there's someone here they can call and talk to, and so it maybe will not be as scary to them.
Right. And I think with, you know, this program, you know, one of the reasons it took us so long to get it out there and going is we just continually tried to revise it and change it and make it better. And, you know, we just decided that, well, we just need to get it out there. And, you know, over these next, you know, months and, you know, probably next years, we're going to just continually upgrade it, you know, and tweak it a little bit, you know, try to make it work and, you know, adjust it as time goes by just so everybody's, you know, doing well with it. And so, you know, that's another thing, you know, we are going to, you know, talk to people, take comments, take, you know, phone calls and try to make this, you know, the best program out there to really get park owners, you know, lots filled and, you know, Lonnie dealers to, you know, make a great return on their, you know, their investment on those mobile homes.
Yeah, let me also add that, you know, this tonight is the official launch of the big mothership, but we are totally open to input. In other words, what we're unveiling tonight will probably be changed and adapted every time we see a better change to it. So, you know, what you'll see and hear from tonight, this is not the end of the movie. This is just the start, and there may be, you know, Mobile Homer 2.0 or 3.0 as we continually refine it. And we're looking to everyone on this call to give us input, all right? I mean, we're trying to come up with a solution for the industry here. Dave and I have bounced this thing back and forth 3,000 times, and that's why we kept delaying it. But even then, someone out there may have a better idea than we got. And if you do, by all means, throw that at us. So we would love some feedback on it.
Sure. Okay, let's talk a little bit about how the mobile homer does work. And, you know, I guess you mentioned it, probably mentioned it 1,000 times more, but it's basically forges a partnership between the home investor and the park owner.
Right, and that's a critical thought because, you know, Dave and I are extremely win-win oriented. You know, for some reason we missed a college class on how to do win-lose negotiating. So, you know, if the customer is not happy, we're not happy. And we think that's the key to solving the entire Lonnie crisis with the mobile homeowner is the fact it's a win-win. And so you have to have this partnership or it's not going to work. So if you're listening to the call and you say, heck, I don't want to partner with those Lonnie guys, I want to screw them over, then this isn't for you. And it's not going to work for you, and we don't want you in it, because the whole thing is based on a partnership where both people prosper, where you make sure that the Lonnie guy makes money, and in exchange, he makes sure you make money by bringing in more homes.
That's right.
It's a pretty simple concept, but it all begins with a partnership.
Right, and that's, you know, one of the big things that the whole industry has suffered from is that disconnect between the park owner, the dealer, the finance company, and all of that. So, you know, everybody needs to get, you know, back into that partnership type of mold.
Yeah, exactly, Dave.
The next one is, you got something to say there, Frank?
Well, yeah, the next one is the done-for-you option, which was one of Dave's brainchild. Dave is a closet, you know, New York marketing guy, and he came up with the done for you. And that basically means, you know, a lot of people who want to invest in mobile homes, they don't want to actually do it. They just want to put up the money and get a return. And for most park owners, that's fantastic. That way, you know, you can pick out the home that fits the lot, fits the customer, fits the price. So another important part of our concept here is that we offer a done-for-you option whereby the people put up money, but they don't have to do the work. Not a lot of folks out there who want to put money in mobile homes as looking for a return on their capital want to get out there and replace soft spots and floors, want to get out there and rip out a toilet and put in a new toilet they just bought at Home Depot.
Right. And they don't want to be out there showing the homes and collecting the rents and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, this
exactly.
is kind of a solution to that whole problem. And, you know, with, you know, IRAs and self-directed IRAs, you know, this is, you know, potentially a solution there. And, you know, we're going to have an IRA guy, you know, on a future call here. But, you know, basically, you know, they can use their IRA to, you know, put up the capital to buy the home, and the park owner or the manager can actually manage that investment, basically. And, you know, that's the real simple scenario.
Well, let's talk about that for 1 second, Dave. You know, I'm if the call sounds bad, you guys, I'm out in the field looking at a mobile home park to buy. I'm at a cheesy Holiday Inn at this moment. And on the radio, driving here today, I was listening, trying to find something to do while I'm driving, one of these financial talk shows where you had a guy telling a lady who has currently some form of pension, she needs to cash it in because she could make way more than 8% in the stock market. And I don't know how the guy has not already served time in federal prison, but clearly you're not gonna. And another reason we think that the homer program will flourish is that people are not making any kind of return right now at all. Let's be honest. I mean, the whole era of, oh, I can just throw money in a mutual fund and make 10% a year. I mean, that is as old news as the Happy Days show. That's crazy. Right? I mean, nothing is paying anything. CDs are paying, what, 1%, 2% if you're lucky. You can jump into a corporate, you know, junk-grade bond and maybe make 5 or 6. But let's be honest, the era's over. I mean, it was great, it was nice, but it's gone. So for most of these people, when they're sitting there with IRAs and they're making nothing, they would love to make 10 or 11%. And, you know, we just think there's a huge number of people, if we can put this together properly, that are going to want to get involved in things that actually have double-digit returns. Because most people have built their retirement on that. It's important to note. You know, every time I talk to my mother or any other relative who is just, you know, constantly, you know, obsessing on their retirement, you know, when they all, when they have all been building these big, giant plans, it's always been based upon 10% per year. Because that's how things were the last decade, and everyone just always uses that as a standard. It isn't there anymore. It is, we think, with this mobile homer program, it sure isn't in there with stocks, bonds, and CDs.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, and the next thing is basically, you know, what the program does is it puts a list out there for the Lonnie guy and, you know, for the park owner as well. But, you know, park owners put their parks out there, say, you know, I have five lots to fill and here's what my spiffs are and, you know, here's what I'll do for you. You know, I'll collect your money. I'll show your homes. I've got a rehab crew already going in the park. We'll rehab your homes at a fair rate, all that type of stuff. So it's, you know, we get the park owners out there on a list. We get the Lonnie, you know, guys out there on a list, and you know, basically put them together. You know, you find out where you want to do business at, and boom, you've got you know, initially not a lot of parks on there because we just started it, but you know, hopefully down the road here we'll have you know 500 parks out there, and you can pick and choose the best you know deal that'll work for you.
Right, and bear in mind that you know many people are going to want to invest in parks near where they live. I mean, it's, you know, it's not like any one person is going to dominate things necessarily because we don't know exactly what the investors are going to want. And some of them, you know, a guy who lives in Indiana is probably going to want to at least initially start off with a park in Indiana.
Right.
So, you know, we think it's a big enough world. It certainly is a big enough world if we can capture just a fraction of those 18,000 folks a month that everyone can win, everyone can get homes. No one will be feel left out. Now, of course, if you don't offer them anything, you'll be feel left out, right? If you go on the list and you offer them $3, you probably won't get any calls. But again, a big part of it is a list of participating things. No different than like you know the list of RV parks, Good Sam's, or whatever. A list of people that they know are willing to do a partnership deal with them. That's one key of the mobile homer.
Right, and, you know, kind of expanding on that a little bit, you know, with the old Lonnie system, basically you were, you know, as the Lonnie dealer, you were out there finding the home, getting it moved in, renting it out, rehabbing it and all that, and, you know, you pretty much were, you had to do this in one location. You couldn't, you know, be in Florida and do it in Colorado. It just didn't, the economics doesn't work, but... You know,
right.
In this program, you have a list, and you can say, okay, I'm in Florida, you know, but the best place to buy, you know, homes, you know, the cost of the home and the difference between, you know, how quickly I'd get paid off and the sales price of the home, maybe that's in Nebraska. So I find me a park owner that has a park in Nebraska that has the right economics, and, you know, you could basically go that route. So it definitely solves that location-specific type of issue. And then we already talked about the IRAs and retirement accounts.
Right.
And then, you know, finally, you know, I mean, everybody shares in the success. I mean, it's park owner wins. He fills the lot. He gets his lot rent. Lonnie dealer or home investor, you know, gets his home in there, gets it sold, gets his, you know, monthly payment coming back. And, you know, it works out. Everybody wins. It's win-win.
Right. And that's, and again, and not for Dave and I to sound like Sunday school teachers or corny people. But if this is going to work, it has to be win-win.
That's right.
And we've bounced off all kinds of different scenarios, but that's the only one that really actually is going to work here. So if park owners are willing to let Lonnie guys actually make money, then this is going to work. And I know that Dave and I are. So if you don't think they should, you're not going to do well in the list. But the essential ground of this entire program is the concept of win-win. I mean, you need to be constant. A lot of guys, how are you doing? How is it going? And if the guy's not making money, you got a problem.
Right. So why the crazy name of Mobile Homer?
Well, I'll start off with that because, you know, Dave and I threw out a whole lot of different names over the past many months. I like the name the Uni. Dave hated it. I sound like the Unabomber. Dave, it's Dave's brainchild, the Mobile Homer name. He thought of it, so you need to sell all your cards and flowers to Dave for the name. You know, I thought it was a genius name. I never thought of it. It's easy to remember, and it says it all right there, Mobile Homer. Also, Dave loves baseball.
Right.
But, there are some neat things about the name. We thought the first off is that, you know, this does only work as a team sport. And with the allegory of baseball, you know, the problem with Lonnie so far has been – Most of them have been working as loners. They're out there by themselves. They're frontiersmen with no friends or allies besides beavers and wild elk or something. And that hasn't been working. I mean, let's face it, it doesn't work. So the concept here is that we're going to have a team, and on that team is going to be, at a minimum, the park owner and the Lonnie guy. And it's a team, it'll work, but it does not work as a loner sport. Secondly, another allegory with baseball is the key here is that the guy always makes forward advancement. You know, if he may have a home that is a base hit, if he may have a home that is a triple or a double, but the key is he always wins.
Right.
I mean, you're crazy if you think you're getting anywhere making the Lonnie guy pay rent when it's vacant, not helping him get the home sold, because he's going to quit. It's kind of like, you know, when I take my daughter to the carnival when she was younger, and they have some of those games where you throw the darts till you win. You know, it's sheer genius. As long as the kid wins, he wants to do it again.
Okay.
You know, pay $5 and they give you a 25-cent prize. So the whole point here is that they always need to win. They didn't have to be a tremendous home run. I mean, you're battling yields in the real world of stocks and bonds of 1-3%. So a guy is not going to cry and jump off a bridge if he makes 8% or 7%. But you want him to hopefully always be making at least, you know, 10 and north of 10.
That's right.
But as long as he's making positive advancements, okay.
Right. And, you know, baseball's been around for, you know, ever, you know, hundreds of years, and, you know, we're going to basically have the same continuity with this program. You know, we're not just putting it out there this week, and, you know, next week we'll be putting out some other concept. You know, this is something we're going to work on and make it work well for everybody. It's definitely needs, you know, the industry needs some help, and we're hoping this will, you know, at least fill a few of those gaps there.
Yeah, and we maybe modify the program. Again, we would love your input, because modification, it may be a key factor in making this thing work long term. But the bottom line is, we are so convinced that this works and that this is the best shot there is out there that we're going to stick with it to the bitter end.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to ask this 28 years from now, hey, Frank and Dave has a mobile homer program, we'll be happy to tell you, because it's still going to be going. I mean, if nobody else wants to do it, we'll do it ourselves. So, you know, that's how committed we are to it.
Right. And, you know, we're going to be putting our own parks in there as well. So.
That's right.
So, you know, let's just kind of go through some of the problems of the old model, solutions of the new one. And, you know, I guess the first problem here is, you know, the home investor, you know, bears the cost of the lot rent during the time the home's vacant, or when their buyer's not making payments, or when they buy the home and bring it in and they're trying to get it rehabbed and sold, you know, all that time period. You know, that's the problem. And then, you know, the solution, you know, the park owner, he gives the investor, you know, free rent or discounted rent. You know, probably free rent, at least for some period of time. Well, he's in the process of evicting the person or foreclosing on the home, or, you know, the guy won't, you know, pay his rent.
Yeah, see, that's what they always drive me crazy with a lot of these old moms and pops are. They're adamant. They won't give one day of free rent to a Lonnie guy. But without the Lonnie guy, there's no rent, right?
Yep.
I mean, you know, if the guy pays you 11 months of the year and you give him 1 month free in between tenants, what's happened? You've made 11 months of rent. But a lot of these guys are so backwards in their thinking, they look at that relationship as if they lost a month of rent.
Right.
Kind of insane.
Yeah, it is. You know, the next problem, you know, the old model assumes that you buy the home and sell it the same day. And, you know, obviously,
right,
And, you know, obviously that doesn't, you know, that's not a real world. You don't buy it and sell it the same day. It's not very typical. I mean, sure, that could happen once in a while, but, you know, the solution is, you know, back to that whole free rent. You know, the park owner has to give the guy some time to get it sold.
Right. And, again, you're not giving up anything, because without the guy, you got nothing.
That's right.
So all you're giving him is his own money back, basically, is what you're doing.
Right.
Then the next is, you know, the old problem is, you know, under the existing Lonnie formula, the Lonnie guy pays the entire cost of buying the home, moving it in, rehabbing the home, and, you know, so he's out a lot of money with on the front end, absolutely no participation, no respect, nothing from the park owner. And under our new solution, the park owners are aggressively going to be providing incentives. Now, again, we can't tell you how aggressive and what those incentives will be. And it's going to vary a lot on your park, how many vacants you have, how much your lot rent is. And we're not going to laugh at anybody, I mean, regardless of what they offer as their incentive. But, you know, we would suggest you think about it realistically. And if a guy brings a home into your park, and if you study the Frank and Dave handy-dandy rules, right, you know that one occupied lot is worth a lot of money to the park. So don't pretend that it's not.
Okay.
You know, if you have a $150 lot rent and 50 of its expense, then at a 10 cap, that one home is worth $12,000 to you as a park owner. So don't pretend like it's only worth $100 to you or $1,000 to you, because it's totally not true. So, you know, look at one occupied lot, what it means to you, and then, you know, react accordingly.
Right. Okay, the next issue really deals with, you know, let's say you're a Lonnie dealer and you have a home in a park and you're trying to evict the resident there under, like, a, you know, say you buy it and you sell it on and carry back the financing. Well, you're going to have to go to the court, and if you have some type of rent-to-own or lease option type of agreement, or even if you have a full, you know, where you have the paper and you have to do a full foreclosure, you know, judges, you know, sometimes don't like these, you know, I guess the rent-to-owns or the lease options at least, but, you know, also on the foreclosures, it can take, you know, several months to get rid of the guy. But, you know, with the new solution, you know, is basically, you know, if you have the park owner have a lot lease agreement with that person, it's so much faster and quicker to evict under those lot lease agreements than it is for these other type of agreements, you know, foreclosures and stuff. So if you get the park owner to evict your guy because he hasn't paid the lot rent, then, you know, you've just solved some of the, you know, court costs and other problems you have getting rid of, you know, getting them out of that home. Because once they walk off from the home, they're never coming back. So they get
right.
Just from the, they're not going to take the home with them. So
that's right.
You know, give it back to you.
Right. And again, you know, you're thinking probably, oh man, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have a separate lease. I mean, if that's what you think, that's okay. But if you want to bring homes into your park, you got to be more flexible.
That's right.
It's not asking much to write a lease, right? If a home came in that the Lonnie guy didn't bring in, you'd write a lease there, right? So again, we're not asking for much,
right? And the next one is, you know, the home investor, you know, he basically buys the home, brings it in, and he has to pay all those advertising costs to get it sold. You know, when you start creating partnerships with the park owner, basically you can piggyback upon that park owner, and you know, they can, you know, provide, you know, they're already advertising, so they can use their advertising and share that with you as the home investor to get those homes rented out, because they're already getting calls for people wanting to buy homes or rent homes, you know, and you're saving a ton of money, because they already got the Yellow Page ad out there.
Hey, Dave, let's be honest, okay? I mean, traditionally what's happened in the past with me, with everybody else, and let's everyone admit it's true, the guy comes in and he wants to buy a home, you normally don't direct him to the Lonnie guy, right? Because Lonnie guy's already paying you lot rent. You direct him over to your own home that you've got sitting vacant, or Mrs. Smith who ran off, or something like that. So what we're talking about here is basically just bringing a little equity to it. Because, you know, traditionally what's happened is you starve the Lonnie guy out. Because you want to get the ones that aren't paying lot rent back activated. And what we're describing here is you change your attitude a little. So a guy comes in wanting to sell a home, well, then you sell the Lonnie guy's home, because you're not getting lot rent on him either under this program.
That's right. Okay, next problem is, you know, the investor has to take the calls, show the homes, check the homes, and collect all the payments. So, you know, creating that partnership, you've got the park owner, he's probably already got an on-site manager there. And that on-site manager can, you know, actually, since he's already there, show the homes for you, take your calls. You know, if somebody walks off and leaves the home, he can, you know, let you know the home's vacant, so you don't find out a month later as the home investor who never goes to the park. You know, you have somebody there on-site, you know, kind of looking after your investment. So, you know, it's a very, very good solution for that, you know, because you have somebody there, whereas before you don't have anybody there. It's only when you feel like you have to go out there and look at the home.
Right, and two observations on that one, Dave. Number one, who's better situated to talk to park people than people in the park? Right? I mean, if your Lonnie is a dentist or something, I mean, he's not set up to handle that call. Right? I mean, if you've got people already in the park, they already speak park lingo, they're used to park tenants, they're the ones who should get the calls, they're the ones who should deal with them because they're the most used to it. The other observation I would have for you is most park people don't have enough to do. Now, I've been in a million offices, and what do? They watch soap operas, read magazines, screw off, go to sleep, whatever. It's not like that little extra bit's going to kill anybody. Because, frankly, most of them need a little extra bit to do just to stay awake.
Right. Okay. Next one is, you know, basically, you know, background and credit checks. You know, maybe as a, you know, a guy with an IRA or, you know, just one mobile home deal, you know, you don't want to get set up to do background checks and all that kind of stuff. Well,
right.
The solution there is, you know, the same thing. The park owner, the manager, he already has, you know, probably a system of doing the, you know, the tenant checks, and he can do that for you.
Exactly.
Okay. Next one is, you know, the mobile home investor, you know, you maybe not be local, or maybe you can't find homes in the market that you live in. You know, you're in, like we said before, you're in Florida, and you can't find anything in Florida, so you want to go to Georgia, and, you know, this is a solution to that problem is, you know, you can't find them there, so you're going to have to go somewhere else. And so the solution is, you know, you've got, you know, park owner and, you know, two states away, and that park has some vacancies, but there's a great, you know, supply of homes out there that you can buy and bring in and sell and make a profit on. And you've got a great, you know, park owner or manager that will, you know, help you, you know, basically get to that goal, you know, help you get it done quickly so, you know, you get your money coming in quicker.
Right. And also with the done-for-you program, bear in mind, for a lot of parks, that isn't even their concern.
That's right.
Right? So, in other words, if a guy wants to invest $15,000 and get a decent rate of return, he can go to the done-for-you program component, and he doesn't have to worry about if there's any homes in Alabama or South Carolina or whatever. That's already part of the program.
Right.
Because people all have different needs and interests in this thing.
Right. Okay. Next one is, you know, kind of a big one in some areas. You know, that's becoming a dealer. You know, as a mobile home investor, if you're buying and selling homes, mobile homes, you may have to become a dealer in that state. And, you know, maybe you don't want to take, you know, go to that hassle. It's just another level of, you know, problems you have to run into. So, you know, that added cost and time, you know, may make it so you don't even want to mess with the whole deal.
Right. And I think that is, you know, probably of those 18,000 folks a month who are Googling them and they want to do it, who don't do it, that may be an aspect, right?
Right.
Because they may Google then in laws to sell mobile homes, and they get a thing saying you got to be a dealer. And to be honest with you, a lot of people don't understand how easy it is to become a dealer. And I'm only talking in the reference of Texas and Oklahoma and other places. I mean, a lot of people, when you talk a dealer's license, it's a big deal, right? I mean, if you want to be a securities dealer or insurance agent, it's a big deal. You got to go to school, you got to take tests. Many people flunk. And, you know, taking this whole uncertainty issue of being a dealer out, I think will solve a lot of the problem. Because I know myself, if I didn't know any better, if I did not know what a joke being a dealer is, I would see that and just freak out. Right?
Right.
You know, I would read Lonnie's book, and I'd Google it in, and I'd go, holy my God, I don't want to go to school. And, you know, if you could even call your local MHAs and stuff, they don't even tell you what a joke it is, how easy it is. I mean, you know, I've been to dealer school in Texas. What did I do? I basically read a newspaper and slept the whole time. And simply by being there, I passed.
Right.
By physically sitting in a chair asleep, I became a dealer. And so, again, one solution to this program would be people who don't want to go, don't have time, too afraid, they we don't lose them out of this. The whole point here, guys, is we lose as few of those 18,000 folks every month as we can.
That's right. Okay, next one, you know, this one's kind of more on the tax benefits and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, when you buy a home as a dealer and you sell it, you basically, if you sell it and carry financing, you report your gain on sale the year the year you sell it. So, you know, you may collect, you know, $1,000 that year, but you might have a, you know, $1,500 tax liability. So that's an issue there. You know, I guess under the program, you might be able to, you know, team up with other, you know, with park owners, you know, where you do this whole done-for-you program, where rather than you being the guy buying and selling, you're the guy that's providing the funds, and you're doing maybe some type of a lending relationship or something, rather than, you know, being the one out there buying and selling the homes and, you know, paying those taxes in the year of sale. You know, let the park owner deal with that. He's got the money to do that, and, you know, he doesn't really care.
Right.
He just wants to fill up those lots.
Right.
Okay. You know, I guess our next thing here is, you know, it's kind of a big issue, and that's the SAFE Act. And, you know, Frank and I have gone back and forth and talked to people here and there all over the place, talked to attorneys and other park owners and all of that. You know, we think we have some ideas that we think we can, you know, kind of work around the SAFE Act or work in compliance, but, you know, we don't have a, you know, I don't think we have a for sure legal answer, yes or no, but I think we have some pretty good ideas and things that we're going to try ourselves, and I think they are definitely good workable solutions.
Should we go over those solutions yet, Dave, or just hold people?
Yeah, let's go over that, Frank.
Okay, well, as many people know, you know, I write for, like, the Journal and other things, and a while back I had to research an article on the SAFE Act. And what I found in researching the article was that nobody had a clue what to do with it. It was pretty pathetic. I talked to many state MHAs. I even talked to the attorneys from mobile home associations across America, and no one had any idea what to do with it. The only thing they could figure out is, it doesn't apply if you sell for cash. It doesn't apply if you rent. Well, since that time, Dave and I have been trying to figure out a little more accurately, a little more nailed down what you can do. Well, of course you can sell for cash, and of course you can rent. Neither of those two are at peril. But the third angle, and this is just so far from what we've researched, do not count on this. Do not write this down and say this is the gospel truth, but this is what it looks like so far. It looks like so far there may be an out. There may be a loophole in the SAFE Act based on lot rent. Apparently, some larger community owners have been testing the waters, and they believe that they have found the antidote to the SAFE Act in the form of relationships between the entities that own the park and the entity that owns the home, in as much as there's an agreement, an addendum on the lot lease on the park entity side, whereby if the customer pays for X number of months, the park agrees to buy the home and give it to the customer for free. Right. Now, again, we're still delving into this, but that appears to be one option that may have already passed the scrutiny of various lawyers. I can't even tell you exactly which state. We're still researching this. Just bits of data, bits of gossip that we've picked up. Another idea that has been floated, which I don't know if it's true or not, that you would have a lot rent that is essentially the home monthly note, where the lot rent then drops down to a lower lot rent after X number of months, after a year, 2 years, 3 years, something like that. So another idea we're looking at. Third idea is our new forms of triple debt leasing. Now, this, we don't have any tangible thing to tell you at this point, other than if you just think about it, when you rent to own a home, what are you basically doing? You're basically trying to get out of the repair and maintenance business. And if they stick for so many months, then the home is theirs. Under the new arrangement, what it may be that the person with the home does just that. They rent the home on more of a triple net basis, right? And then when they've recovered what they want to recover out of the home, they basically just give it to the tenant who's in there at the moment. So it may be another option.
And then I would throw out one more kind of side option of those. And, you know, let's say your lot rent's 200 and say you have a home you want to get rid of and you sell or finance. Basically what you could do is maybe you would set your lot rent at, you know, say 400 a month. And in your lease agreement, you'd say, yeah, your lot rent's 400 a month for 3 years. And, you know, then you don't even really have to discuss the home. You know, it's just based on the lot rent. But, you know, after that 3-year period, then it drops back down. And I know you mentioned that's a little bit, Frank, but wanted to expand on it a little bit.
Well, I want to expand on one thing, which Dave can attest to. If you think you have any buddies out there in our industry, you're crazy. The only buddies you got on this issue is Frank and Dave. Because what's happening right now is, you know, most of your manufacturers and your retailers and your large community owners are loving the SAFE Act. Why? Because if they can get the SAFE Act, the more onerous the better, then that knocks out their competition. Right? So if you're some Clayton dealer and you can't sell any homes, because every time a customer comes in and looks around, they say, oh, that park owner down the street, he's got a 1993 for $5,000. I ain't going to pay him $28,000 for this piece of crap. Right? If you can stop the park owner from selling that home, then the guy's stuck with your home. And I can tell you from talking to a lot of people out there, you're being misguided, you're being fooled, you're being duped if you think that any of our mobile home groups out there are even spending one iota of effort to figure out any way that a smaller community owner can get around the SAFE Act. Because all the big communities are out there getting in line with the SAFE Act. I will also tell you this, Dave and I researched. One idea we had was, well, let's find the guy and have the guy do the paperwork for you so that you're SAFE Act compliant. Well, here's the results of that test. The guys that I have found who will do that, or they will pay for your transaction, they're going to charge. And I hope you all are sitting down, or at least leaning against something. They're going to charge you $1,000 to do that. Think of the insanity of that. You got a home you sold for $5,000 with $500 down, and then you just pay the guy to paper the transaction $1,000 cash. Is that insane? Dave, I think, would agree that's insane.
Yeah, definitely.
Another reason that's never going to work is under the SAFE Act, the person who does the transaction has to collect all the payments. So not only will that not work, not only are you going to pay them $1,000, they then have to collect all your money for you. And if they do a bad job of collecting, you're screwed. If they do a bad job of collecting and or go out of business and don't pay you, you're screwed. So it's not going to work. That is not a solution. We would love if somebody out there is willing to, you know, process deals for $100, which is what Dave and I had hoped it would be, then we'd love to hear from you. Okay? But the best bid we've gotten so far is $1,000. And $1,000 is never, ever going to work.
Right.
So, you know, again, the only folks out there trying to find the loopholes, trying to find the solutions, given the lousy pieces we've been given with the most absurd and most lousy SAFE Act are Dave and I. And if there's somebody else out there who's been researching, hey, we'd love to hear from you. Give us what you've learned. I mean, we're out beating the streets trying to find the solutions, but nobody else is.
Right. And obviously, you know, I guess the other option is, you know, as a park owner or a lawn dealer, you can become licensed under the SAFE Act. You know, it's going to take time and money, but you know, you there, that is a solution as well. So, and that's where partnership would come into play as well. You know, if you're a park owner, you get licensed, then you have, you know, and you can do those deals for your Lonnie guys, then you're already one step ahead of the game.
That's also completely correct. And also bear in mind, you know, the licensing requirements will be different in every state.
Right.
And most guys, when they talk about this whole thing, well, they always use the example of Ohio, because Ohio is the most advanced of all states in this entire SAFE Act gizmo. They're also an insane state, right? This is the state that brings you the, you know, $5 million set up for the lot before the home can go on and all this other crud. So Ohio would scare anyone to death. So, you know, check with your state. Maybe you're in a sane state. Maybe you're in a state where you can do, like, getting a dealer's license. You go to school, you get to sleep for a day, and you get it. I don't know. Do research that, because if you can become licensed, by all means, go get licensed.
For sure.
But we're just trying to figure all the options for everybody based on real life, because the things that people tell us, it's not real life.
Right.
It ain't gonna happen.
And a lot of them are self-promoting as well.
They're very self-promoting. A lot of people are loving the fear factor. They're making money off of fear. There's one guy out there I talked to that he tells you, when you even throw up the SAFE Act, that if you don't follow the SAFE Act, you're going to end up bankrupt and in prison. All right? That's insane. All right? But at the same time, that's what you have. You have a lot of people pushing their own selfish motivation, but a lot of people pushing that themselves are our retailers, street dealers, and big community owners. So just don't forget, there's a lot of motives out there, and they're not always in your best interest.
That's right. Okay. So yeah, and you know, with the SAFE Act, we'll be putting out more articles and research and all that here over the next weeks and months to come.
That's right.
Okay, well, let's talk about basically the basics of the Mobile Homer program. What do you get when you sign up for the Mobile Homer? And, the first thing is you don't get Homer Simpson, like the picture shows, but you do get...
Darn it, Dave, I thought you did get that.
Right.
Darn.
No, it's on Fox if you want to watch it.
Okay.
You get a 150-page, it's basically an e-book, with kind of our thoughts and different ideas that we have, on the program, and how to make it work, and some different, scenarios. You what it costs to buy the home and what you have to sell it for. And we really talk in that about, our concept of the lot spread delta, which is basically the amount of money between the lot rent and what the people can pay on the home. Which, that one concept, that lot spread delta, really makes all the difference in the whole program. If it's $50, it doesn't make sense. If it's, $300, then it might make sense.
Right.
Next thing you get is, forms and checklists. We have a bunch of forms and stuff that you can download, and we'll add to those, and, people might send us forms, and we'll put them on there, and, be all that kind of stuff you need to, actually, survive, and, things you can take to your attorney and make sure that they'll work for you in your state. The next thing is you're going to get, 1 year of access to the mobile home park owners or the investors in the program. So if you're a park owner, you'll get to see the investors as they get signed up under the program. And if you're an investor, you'll get to see the park owners that want to work with you. And, we'll put these lists out there, and, all the different benefits and, spiffs that the park owner offers and things will be listed on there. And then you get your own listing on there. So if you're an investor, you get to be listed, and same with the park owner. Next thing is access to mobile home deals. This part hasn't really been built out a lot yet, but we are planning on building it out. We're going to be bringing on different brokers and different ways we find homes to buy. So as we find great, good deals that would work into the program, reasonably priced homes, and maybe even new home solutions and loans from manufacturers and all that kind of stuff. We'll be putting that stuff out there on a web page or a website that you can go and browse for homes for your area. And wholesale pricing on new homes. As we continue to work with manufacturers, we'll put that out there, compare the different manufacturers and the best price for a three-bedroom, two-bath, single-wide, and, that type of stuff.
Yeah, I want to point out, Dave, also that, the manufacturers, guys, they're dying. If you're not aware, sales last year were down, the production was down to 50,000 units, which is, you can't survive. So something will have to give. And as those plans come up by the manufacturers, in their death throes to survive, we're going to present those to you. I don't know what they are at this moment, but feel assured they have to do something, because at 50,000 units, there will not be a manufacturing component to the industry in the future.
That's right.
It's pretty much that simple. I mean, it's not like they're doing okay. They're just trying to decide, maybe we don't need to go out and step out of the limb. These guys are as desperate as any group in America right now. They make the car manufacturers look successful right now. So there will be something big happening with them. I don't know what, but clearly none of them are going to clear the trees. And the ones who do want to try and stay in business will have to come out with something much, much more aggressive than what they've done so far.
Right. Okay, and then the last thing is you basically get access to a resource directory that we've started. We'll be building upon it. It might have the best, cheapest place to buy skirting. It might have a list of a great rehab crew that travels around the country and rehabs homes. You maybe have 50 homes you need to have rehabbed, and needs somebody that's good and does a good job and does it affordably, you know. So it'll be all those different resources that we use, and, you know, hopefully we'll get other people that are in the program that can, you know, excuse me, pass on some of their resources as well. So, you know, just be kind of a place for everybody in the mobile homer program to, you know, find stuff that they need, you know, at, you know, at the best prices. So, basically, you know, anybody wants to sign up, you know, there is the URL for the, you know, to sign up. It's mobilehomer.com/ready.html. And, you know, we like we said before, we hope, you know, everybody, you know, takes a look at it. And if you, you know, if you have any questions or any suggestions, any things that you think might be beneficial to add, we're in the beginning process of this program, so we want to add to it, and you know, but we know it's going to be around for a while, and we are going to you know be a big part of it, and you know, try to get this to help, you know, push things along for you know, both park owners, you know, as park owners, you know, that's why we're doing it. We're not, you know, investors in homes. You know, we only buy homes to fill our parks, but you know, there are a lot of people out there and a lot of money out there that can be used to buy these homes and to fill these lots, so we're trying to, you know, put these people together so everybody wins.
Yeah, and you know, bear in mind, I mean, a lot of folks out there, you know, if you're a park owner, you probably have never given much thought to a lot of the things we've thrown out tonight. So what we ask of you is to take off your park owner hat and put on your money dealer hat for a moment and look at it from their perspective. Because, again, what got us to this point is the fact, which is the fact, the scientific fact, 18,000 people a month are Googling in that they want to invest in mobile homes. 18,000 a month, right? And out of those 18,000 a month, I don't know how many are actually getting into it, but it's an incredibly small, infinitesimally small percentage of that group.
Right.
And if we can solve that puzzle, all of us as collective park owners, we will solve our vacancy issues, and we don't need retailers and manufacturers anymore. Right? So when we read that Clayton and Fleetwood, everyone just give up, they just decide to use their manufacturing plants to build, I don't know what, giant Zeppelins or something, or, you know, maybe we'll go back to the building giant blimps. Then we can all just say, ah, who cares?
Right.
Not worry about it. And again, it's something we can all do. We can all proactively get that percentage up, and every month, hopefully get more and more people into doing it. And pretty soon, we will have literally replaced the retailers, which again are only selling 50,000 units right now, which they estimate only 10,000 go to parks.
Right.
So if we could get half of 1 month's production of the Googles on mobile home, we would replace the entire industrial production of the U.S. for the entire year. And
right.
this is not crazy. This is not Dave and I going nuts. This is just basically fact. You can check it out yourself. That's the sheer quantity of folks who want to get into it. Why are they not getting into it? We don't know, but we think because right now they're not being offered much to make them want to do it, and we're hoping to solve that. Also just want to point out that whenever you launch anything, it's like launching a big ship. You know, you kind of throw it out there, and then you start working on it. And that's where we are right now. You know, it's taken us months to get all this together, but we've got it together now. We've officially launched it as of this day in history, but we would love your feedback. So if you have any feedback, any thoughts, any immediate knee-jerk reactions to what we've thrown out tonight, or how this can work better than what we've thought of, then by all means, send it to us.
Right.
Because, you know, Dave and I are the simplest form of democracy. So, in other words, if you've got an idea better than ours, we will be the first to admit, man, that's a better idea than ours, and we'd love to adopt it. So, again, tonight is a launch. We've now launched it, but we want to now perfect it. We want it to work. We want it to get going. So we're, you know, the door is open to everyone listening right now to tell us what they want to see, what they want, what they think would be better. And if anything idea you come up with is better, we will happily adopt it.
Right. And, you know, I guess one more thought before we sell it all to manufacturers is, you know, actually in some areas, you know, this whole program will work for the, you know, the cheapo mobile homes, you know, the brand new manufactured homes. You can actually, you know, adopt this program to those homes with the park owner offering spiffs to get those in there, because, you know, you may not get a 25% return on your investment, but, you know, there are a lot of people out there that don't mind, you know, 12 or 15%, and, you know, you can actually make this work with those type of homes as well, so.
That's right. And, although I got to point out, Dave, you know, here I am out looking at parks in Indiana, driving down the highway. Here's a Clayton dealership, which is right now, as we speak, assembling a giant two-story mobile home with a high-pitched roof. Okay? This is not the solution to the industry.
That's
probably
right.
Not the solution to the guy's sales. It is not. But, you know, we've been suffering for a decade now, a complete disconnect between reality and the manufacturing retail side of our industry. And it's driven us insane, and tonight we're hoping to find a way to solve it. And yes, there are inexpensive homes that the manufacturers make that may become a big part of this program over time. And there may be even more inexpensive homes when they realize they can't sell what they consider to be inexpensive because they're still not inexpensive enough.
That's right.
You know, and we get feedback all the time from people in the New Home Solutions program saying, hey, you know, with delivery and stuff, it's 25, it's 28. Hey, we know. We wish they could build them for 8 or 6 or 3 or 1 or 300 bucks.
Right.
And so far they haven't figured out how to do it.
Right.
But, you know, they've been
all that's going to boil down, you know, I mean, price is going to boil down to that lot spread delta, which we talk about in the, you know, in the ebook, basically.
That's correct.
The higher that spread is, you know, the higher, you know, more expensive homes you can buy. So you can't buy those brand new homes where it's $100 a month, you know, spread.
That's right. So effective tonight, we're taking off the boxing gloves and we're getting down to work. And again, we'd love to hear from you. If you have any input, by all means, we'd love to hear it. But that's the program. There it is. I know we've been, you know, telling people for a long time it's coming out. Well, it's out now, and we're ready to roll up our shirt sleeves and get to work on it. So there you go.
All right. So, you know, thank everybody for being on the call tonight, and, you know, I'm sure we'll be hearing from you more, and you'll be hearing from us more, you know, in the weeks to come.
Thanks, everybody, for being here tonight.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.